Good evening. I would like to say, as Sheldon did, thank you for coming out. I appreciate each one of you that are here that made the effort to get here. Tonight I'm going to do something a little unusual. I don't plan to preach. I plan to read Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 2 Corinthians 13:5a says, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves." Prove would mean to test. I'm going to be reading from several different places tonight. Some of you prefer to follow along. Some of you prefer to simply listen. You do what you do best. I simply ask that we let the Lord speak to us tonight. Each one of us is at a different place. Each one of us is at a different stage in life, a stage in our spiritual growth, a stage in our walk with the Lord. Some of us are probably on a mountain right now. Some of us are facing discouragement right now. And we're all one end or the other or somewhere in between. Council meeting. Preparatory service. I was trying to think what to share tonight. A message I shared back in 2009, I believe. I looked it up, maybe 10. I called, "Which Way Are You Moving?" And in that message, I used a couple of illustrations that had just happened in that. One had just happened, and one was from before. And the thing that I would like for us to be careful of is that when we think about which way we are moving, that we be careful how we know. And I gave two illustrations. One was that I was working down at Clinger Lake, and there's a creek that comes in, we call it a channel, I guess, that comes into the lake there right at the bottom of the hill by the marina. And I was doing a fence right there in that yard. And I was looking out at the lake, and it was obvious that the water was coming towards me in that channel. You can see the waves. You can see everything. It was very obvious which way the water was moving. And the water is very clear. And when I got up to the water, I looked down, and I noticed that a stick and some debris that was floating on the water was actually going the other way. And when I could see the ground, I could see something that was actually not moving, I gained the right perspective. The creek, there were waves coming off the lake, just like there is at the shore of any lake. But the creek, the channel, the current from the creek was moving out to sea. And so if I stepped back and just looked at the water, I thought it was moving this way. The true indicator, the stick floating on the water and the ground in the water that wasn't moving, showed me that the stick was actually moving, the water was actually moving the other way. Another illustration I used was one time I remember my father-in-law telling us how he was, when he was hauling campers, he was parked at a truck stop, and he was parked on a hill, and the truck stop was down behind him, the building was down behind him, and he was there doing his logbook. And suddenly realized he was rolling backwards. He had it in park, but it was rolling back, or neutral, but it was rolling backwards. And he had a trailer behind him, and he was afraid he was going to jackknife that trailer or hit something behind him. And he said it all happened really fast, but he grabbed the steering wheel to try to make sure this trailer was going straight, and he's looking at his mirror to see if he's going to hit anything, and suddenly realized that the semi beside him was pulling forward. He was not moving at all. So what I want to do tonight is simply read Scripture. And I would like for us, first of all, the reason that we so often use council meeting as a time of examining ourselves is if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. No, I'm sorry, that's not the right one. I added a couple things after that. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 32 says, "For I have received of the Lord." I'm sorry, I want to give you time to turn. If you want to turn, I personally feel like I listen better when I just listen, so I really want you to do what you feel comfortable doing. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 32. "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Notice it says, "Let a man examine himself," and that's where I want to go with this tonight. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." And now I want to go to 1 Corinthians 6, and I want to read 9 through 11 and 19 and 20. I'm trying to get some verses here that go back and forth. I don't want it to be all negative. I don't want this to be all condemnation. You know, examine yourself, and we know we're all sinners, so let's all beat ourselves up. I don't want it to be all that, but I want us to look at ourselves honestly. But then we also have some verses that show who we are in Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." I wanted to read those two verses so that we get the context of verse 11. "And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Now go down to verse 19 and 20. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Okay, now I want to go to John 15, 1 through 17. And I guess I would just really, in fact, let's just stop and pray. I wanted to do this. Let's stop and pray. And let's just really give our spirits, our minds, let's still ourselves before the Lord and just simply ask Him to speak to each one of us as individuals. Lord, we come before You again this evening. I thank You, Lord, that You are real. I thank You, Lord, for Your Spirit. I thank You that You care about each one here. I pray, Lord, that each one of us would have a living, vital relationship with You. I pray, Lord, that You would speak to us tonight. I pray, Lord, that You would still our minds before You. There are so many distracting thoughts, so many things to think about. I pray, Lord, that You would just block those things from our mind, that we could focus on You, that we could hear from You, and that You would bless the reading of Your Word this evening. We welcome Your Spirit here, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. John 15, 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth much more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. That vine and branches, I guess I want to give just a little bit of clarity there. We think of trees as having branches, and we think of vines as being vines. What Jesus is saying is that I am the vine. You know, a grapevine can have a big vine, and then there are smaller branches that go off of that. And he's saying, I am the vine, ye are the branches. I am the trunk, you are the offshoots. And you know that no limb... Imagine, I've heard this illustration before. Imagine a man coming to your door with a limb that's cut off and saying, hey, you want to buy a tree? You're going to say no. Why not? It's been cut off. Well, plant it. It won't work. It needs to be attached to the vine to be alive. And what Jesus is saying is, I am the vine. You get your life from me. Abide in me. Stay with me. Dwell with me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Now let's go to Titus 1, and here we're going to read nearly the entire book of Titus. I want to read Titus 1, 3 through 8, and then we're going to go through, I'm going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read the entire book all the way to Titus, verse 8 of chapter 3. Titus 1, 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. That lucre is money, or dirty money, for filth, for bribes, for the sake of getting rich. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." Chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. All of us fit into one of these groups. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate. Sober would be serious. Grave would be consistent. Temperate. Sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not talking back to their boss, not purloining, that would be embezzling, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Titus 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. This is a good time. Let this make you thankful. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now I want to go to the chapter, the book of Jude. I'll read the entire chapter there. There's only one book in the book of Jude. Jude 1 through 25. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. That phrase there, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, that would mean turning God's willingness to forgive, God's willingness to deal with sin, turning that into license, into freedom, into God's going to forgive me, I can sin what I want to do, and grace will cover it. And he's saying that is absolutely not right. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. That's referring to Dathan and Abiram and Korah when they argued with Moses and Aaron and the earth swallowed them up. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We looked at these verses a little bit Sunday night, but we now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We talked about Sunday night, that that's not just saying that he presents you and he gives you joy. Jesus is saying, it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, that's Christ, or the Spirit, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, that's Christ having joy, presenting you to the Father. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Now I would like to go to Psalm 139. And I want to read 1 through 18 and 23 and 24. We will have a time. We want to make it, open it up for anyone to share. It can be a confession. It can be a testimony. It can be whatever. If the Lord lays anything on your heart you'd like to share, there will be time for that. Psalm 139, 1 through 18, I believe, 1 through 18, and then 23 and 24. Think about how God thinks of you. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You don't do that with somebody you're not interested in. He knows when you sit down and when you rise up. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. That can be comforting. That can be discomforting. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. I want to comment on that verse. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. That unperfect means incomplete, unfinished. When I was just a little glob of nothing in my mother's womb, God saw me. Not only did He see me there, it says, in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. God wrote in His book. He wrote the blueprint. We understand a little bit about DNA now. We know the DNA, a scientist can take your DNA and take it all apart and say, yes, this child will have brown hair, this child will have blue eyes, this child will have all these different things, because the DNA code tells them what that child or what you will be like. God wrote your blueprint when your members were not yet fashioned. Nothing about you and the way you turned out surprised Him. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, yet being unfinished, unformed. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. An interesting thing about prophecy. We don't read where things happen and it says, now God saw this was going to happen, and that's why He prophesied that it would happen. We see where it says many times in the New Testament, or even in the Old, but it says it's a fulfillment of an earlier prophecy. And the way it says it is, this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the prophet by the word of the Lord. This happened because God prophesied that it would happen. It's not that God looks down through future time and says, oh, I see this is going to happen, so I have the ability to see that. I'm going to tell my prophet and tell them it's going to happen. Things happen because God said so. This happened that it might be fulfilled. And that's what we see here. You wrote them down in my book. All my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. They all happened as he had written it before they were formed. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. He didn't leave you while you went to sleep. Surely thou wilt slay the... Oh no, I'm going to go down to verse 23 now. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Okay, now I want to go to 1 John 1, and we're going to read the first 10 verses. First John 1, 1 through 10. That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now for the last one, I'd like to turn to Malachi 3, 16 through 18. I'd like to encourage us here to be transparent, to be willing to share with each other maybe a struggle, maybe a joy, maybe a triumph, whatever it is. Let's allow each other to care for each other. Malachi 3, 16 through 18. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. I think I'm going to simply say, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. I'm going to ask the ministry team to come forward and turn the time over to Lynn.